Chapter 19. My computer woke me up just before sundown, and I began my daily ritual. "I'm up!" I shouted at the darkness. In the weeks since Artemis had dumped me, I'd had a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, so I'd disabled my alarm snooze feature and instructed the computer to blast "Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go" by Wham. I loathed that song with every fiber of my being, and getting up was the only way to silence it. It wasn't the most pleasant way to start my day, but it got me moving. The song cut off, and my haptic chair reshaped and reoriented itself, transforming from a bed back into its chair configuration, lifting me into a sitting position as it did so. The computer began to bring the lights up slowly, allowing my eyes to adjust. No outside light ever penetrated my apartment. The single window had once provided a view of the Columbus skyline, but I'd spray-painted it completely black a few days after I moved in. I'd decided that everything outside the window was a distraction from my quest, so I didn't need to waste time staring at it. I didn't want to hear the outside world either, but I hadn't been able to improve upon the apartment's existing soundproofing. So I had to live with the muffled sounds of wind and rain and of street and air traffic. Even these could be a distraction. At times, I'd slip into a kind of trance, sitting with my eyes closed, oblivious to the passage of time, listening to the sounds of the world outside my room. I'd made several other modifications to the apartment for the sake of security and convenience. First, I replaced the flimsy door with a new airtight, armor-plated, vacuum-sealed war door. Whenever I needed something—food, toilet paper, new gear—I ordered it online, and someone brought it right to my door. Deliveries worked like this. First, the scanner mounted outside in the hallway would verify the delivery person's identity, and my computer would confirm they were delivering something I'd actually ordered. Then, the outer door would unlock itself and slide open, revealing a steel-reinforced airlock about the size of a shower stall. The delivery person would place the parcel, pizza, or whatever inside the airlock and step back. The outer door would hiss shut and relock itself. Then, the package would be scanned, x-rayed, and analyzed 8 ways from Wednesday. Its contents would be verified, and delivery confirmation would be sent. Then, I would unlock and open the inner door and receive my goods. Capitalism would inch forward, without my actually having to interact face-to-face with another human being. Which was exactly how I preferred it, thank you. The room itself wasn't much to look at, which was fine, because I spent as little time looking at it as possible. It was basically a cube, about 10 meters long on each side. A modular shower and toilet unit were embedded in one wall, opposite the small ergonomic kitchen. I'd never actually used the kitchen to cook anything. My meals were all frozen or delivered. Microwave brownies were as close as I ever got to cooking. The rest of the room was dominated by my Oasis immersion rig. I'd invested every spare cent I had in it. Newer, faster, or more versatile components were always being released, so I was constantly spending large chunks of my meager income on upgrades. The crown jewel in my rig was, of course, my customized Oasis console, the computer that powered my world. I'd built it myself, piece by piece, inside a modded mirror-black Odinware sphere chassis. It had a new overclocked processor that was so fast, its cycle time bordered on precognition. And the internal hard drive had enough storage space to hold 3 digitized copies of everything in existence. I spent the majority of my time in my Shaptic Technologies HC5000 fully adjustable haptic chair. It was suspended by 2 jointed robotic arms anchored to my apartment's walls and ceiling. These arms could rotate the chair on all 4 axes, so when I was strapped into it, the unit could flip, spin, or shake my body to create the sensation that I was falling, flying, or sitting behind the wheel of a nuclear-powered rocket sled hurling at Mach 2 through a canyon on the 4th moon of Altair 6. The chair worked in conjunction with my Shaptic boot suit, a full-body haptic feedback suit. It covered every inch of my body from the neck down and had discreet openings so I could relieve myself without removing the entire thing. The outside of the suit was covered with an elaborate exoskeleton, a network of artificial tendons and joints that could both sense and inhibit my movements. Built into the inside of the suit was a web-like network of miniature actuators that made contact with my skin every few centimeters. These could be activated in small or large groups for the purpose of tactile simulation, to make my skin feel things that weren't really there.